Did any guys ever wish that you were stronger? Ever, you know, something that you wanted to do? Maybe there was cases that you wanted to do something really powerful, that you needed a lot of power. You know, I've seen guys that bend steel bars, that kind of power. Maybe, you know, the kind of superhuman power where you could catch bullets in your teeth or something like that. Or maybe it's the type of power where you just wanted to get that stupid jar of pickles open. And you struggled and struggled, when I was a kid, I don't know if you guys, my imagination went to work when I was a kid. I mean, it still does, but it's in different ways. But when I was when I was growing up, I always wished that I could have superhuman strength, like the characters that you see on TV or in the movies or even read about in books. And I think superheroes. I think of the newest Superman movie, where he's standing there, and one scene I remember, they're shooting this rotary machine gun at him. So buckets of bullets are just flying at Superman, and he's walking into the stream, and you can see him bouncing off his body. And one particular scene, they show a slow-motion bullet coming at his eyeball. He doesn't even blink. It just, the bullet hits his open eye, and you can see the lead just crush against his eye and drop to the ground. And he's like, whatever. It's just bullets. No big deal. Everybody knows the Incredible Hulk. When he gets angry, he gets big and green and powerful, and there's nothing that can stop him. So I don't know what kind of power you've imagined, but I've imagined some pretty amazing power. And then there's what I always think would be cooler than physical strength is the ability to do things with your mind. You know, like you see in the movies where people can move things with their mind and have control over that kind of power, I think is pretty amazing. To be able to do things where, you know, if you could control space time and kind of slow down time or speed it up just for fun, or even stop it, you know, make everything stop around you. How much fun would that be to try out? Of course, there are the things that are much more possible, obviously, that are still cool power abilities, like the power to hit a home run. Wouldn't that be cool if anybody wanted to? Well, it probably wouldn't be cool if everybody could do it, but it's an amazing thing. The power to break a board or even a brick with your bare hand. That's something people do. Or to rip a phone book in half. You've probably seen that done. That's kind of impressive, and I've seen some of those strongmen shows. There's a team called, I think they're called the Power Team. They go around preaching the gospel, and they show their human strength, and then they talk about God's strength. And they do some pretty amazing things. I think one of the most amazing that I think took a lot of faith from the church that I saw it in, they were doing this in a church, and they had the whole stage was covered with plastic, and then they had these pillars built up, and on top of the pillars were concrete blocks. And these strongmen were going to break, stacks of concrete blocks of, like, the paving walking stones that you'd walk on. And so these strongmen were going to smash through all these blocks. But just to make it more impressive, before they did that, they took, I don't know if it's lighter fluid or what, and just doused all these stones with flammable fluid and then set the whole stage on fire inside a church. So this stage is just flames coming off these blocks, and then all these men come up and they smash the blocks, and they do things like break baseball bats and bend iron, and one really impressive guy, there was one guy who took soda cans and would rip the full soda can unopened and would rip it open just with his bare. I mean, that's impressive to me, and so that kind of stuff, you know, would be really cool to do. And I know not all of us have the time to do bodybuilding, you know, 8 hours a day or however long those kinds of people spend with their bodies. But there are, you know, needless to say, there are a lot of things that would be very fun to do if only we had the extra strength and the ability to do them. And in some cases, there's, you know, it's impossible for us. There are some things that are just out of the range of our human capability, and we have to deal with that. However, this morning I would like to give you a power boost. I would like to encourage you and empower you with something that goes beyond the physical realm. It includes the physical realm, but it encapsulates that and goes beyond that. And I want to empower you to be godly. And I'll explain what I mean, but before we get you powered up, of course it'll be helpful to understand what godliness is in the first place. What does it mean to be godly? When you hear about godly people, godly men and women, you could wrap it up by saying that to be godly is it's the whole lifestyle of a Christian. the whole ball of wax of what a Christian does or what a Christian is called to do is what being the way Jesus commands us to live. So things like avoiding sinfulness and loving God and being good servants, all those things are encompassed within our role to be godly and godly behavior. Peter builds a number of qualities on top of each other. If you go to 2 Peter, he lists several qualities that kind of build up to godliness, and they're a result of God's promises. In 2 Peter chapter 1, down at verse 5, Peter says, in view of all this, so he's talked a little bit about Christianity and what God has promised us. He says, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. And he says, supplement your faith, build on to your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. And then on top of moral excellence, build on knowledge. And along with your knowledge, take on self-control. And with self-control, have patient endurance. And along with the patient endurance, with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love for everyone. And he says at verse 8, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you go through this list of qualities that all grow out of our faith, that all stem from the promises of God, the reason anybody puts their faith in God in the first place is because he's made these promises, that he is faithful and just, that he is willing to forgive. If we repent and turn to him, he says, I'll forgive you. So because God has made so many wonderful promises to us, that's why anybody turns to him and says, God, please forgive me. God, please change my life. God, please help me. So because of those promises, we develop a faith. And when we have this faith, we build onto it and we grow out of it, and all these qualities start to grow out of our faith. And you can see that, you know, these kinds of qualities, they're not just behaviors. That godliness isn't just a set of behaviors. You can't just do godliness. It's a change in a person. You become a godly person. It's what we know, it's what we believe in, and it's how we live. It's a whole package deal of our lives is what godliness is pointed out to be. In short, godliness is to be like God, to be godly. That's what it means. You could take the very basic part of the word and it explains itself. Don't get me wrong. You won't ever have God's power because guess what? You're not God and you never will be God. So you won't be God. But you were created in God's image. You were made to be like God. It's similar to God, to espouse the qualities of his character. To be like little Jesus. That's where the word Christians comes from. To be like little Christs. That's where it's, you know, they were poking fun at early Christians. And they said, you're little Christs. And they said, yeah, that's a good word. That's what we want to be. We want to be like Christ. And so you were made to be a good man or a good woman. You were built that way. And a moral person. You are meant to have wisdom. To be wise, you are meant to have good judgment and to have kindness like Christ and to have patience and to have love and to have a proper sense of judgment. You are meant to espouse the qualities of God, to take them on as part of yourself. To be a godly person is basically to live like Jesus Christ, who you know, obviously he was God. He is God, and so when he's God in the flesh, and therefore the prime example for us of godliness, of how we can live for our own lives. And so this total package, this change of heart and mind and behavior comes as a result of God's power being infused into your life. You don't just change your behaviors. You do change your behaviors, but you don't just change your behaviors. God infuses his power into you. God infuses his spirit, himself, into you. And when you give your heart to God, he begins to work inside you. He begins to change things and to make new, instantly he makes you new. But then he begins to change all those old behaviors and make you a brand new person in how you, not only in who you are, but in how you live. He goes to work to make you like himself, to recreate you into the person you were always meant to be from the beginning. And so you you stop being the way you used to be. You stop being the sinner and the rebel and the enemy of God, and you start being a child of God. And it's not just a title change. It's not just a behavior change. It's a whole package. It includes all that. It includes the title. It includes the behavior, but it also includes your heart, the way you think and the way you process the world around you. And so too often we hear bad news about Christianity. You know, you hear about Christianity being pushed out of the culture and pushed out of the society. They've all but made Christianity illegal. I mean, there's a lot of people who would like to do that, but fortunately, we've still got a whole lot of freedom in our country. But it is illegal in a lot of countries, and who knows? One day it may be in this country. The way things are going, if we let things continue on the path that they are. But the good news is, regardless, we can live godly lives regardless of any circumstance, because no matter what society says, no matter what the government tries to do, nothing can stop the power of God in a person's heart. You can force whatever sorts of laws or lock somebody up or whatever you want to do. You can beat them. We heard this morning about how people stoned Paul and left him for dead. You can do whatever you want to the outside of a person, but the power of God to change a person internally and make them into a new creation, it's unstoppable by any force. There is no force that can stop the power of God if you're willing to take it on. Too often, you know, we hear negativity about our religion. People have prejudice about Christians, about what Christianity is about. And oftentimes they'll base their opinions on people who claim to be Christians but who don't live godly lives. So they misappropriate the people who are behaving badly and have prejudice against all Christianity because of it. But on the bright side, on the other side of that coin, we, people who are true Christians, can demonstrate who God is. We can show the world what godliness is and just what living for Jesus is all about. We can show the world a proper Christianity. We can show the world true godliness, because the power of Christ is at work within the true Christian, within the true believer. The power of God is always at work, and it's always at work not only to transform us, but to bring even more people into that transforming power. The power of God is at work in us, not just to change us, but to reach out to all those people who haven't experienced it yet, so that they can find God's power and transformation in their own lives. And of course, it might not be, you know, in your particular case, it might not be that it's, you know, the bad news about Christianity or the negativity that you hear about our religion. It might not be that that's what has you down. It may be that in your own life, you've been having your own personal doubts about all this kind of stuff. You've been thinking, I just don't know. I don't know if I've seen it. I don't know if I believe it. Maybe you've been attempting to live the life that you think a Christian should live. And, you know, going to church and trying to be a good person and doing those kinds of things, but you haven't experienced the power of transformation, of true transformation in your heart, in your own heart and soul. With all of these, that kind of feeling, starting from the bad news that you hear and the negativity about the faith and the attitude people have about God and Christianity and the doubt that people carry within themselves, all of that is really just a sign of the times. And 2 Timothy, our scripture for today, at chapter 3, you just heard this, it starts off, it says, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will only love themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God." You know, we read through this stuff, and I think this kind of thing has been happening for a long time, but you read through this stuff, and it's like Paul wrote this to Timothy this morning. It's like Paul sat down and wrote this out and then looked at our culture and said, you know, this is what's going to happen. This is what's happening. And then you get to verse 5, and this is the part we don't often really think about. You know, we think about all the bad stuff happening and people hating God and going their own way and pleasing themselves and not paying attention to God at all. But then you get to verse 5, and it says, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them truly godly. And Paul says, stay away from people like that. Now, I don't know if you've ever done much looking around at the state of affairs in the Christian community. If you've visited a lot of churches or talked to other Christians or, you know, the people in our culture. But you can find quite a few irregularities as you look across the Christian field, so to speak, the Christian community. I know a lot of believers who are, you know, in this church and in other churches that I've talked to, I know a lot of believers who are as devout to God as a fish is wet. I mean, they are 100%. They are in it as much as they can go. When it comes to faith, they are all in. They love the Lord with all their hearts and all their strength and all their minds, and they live a godly life. Because of that, they've experienced the power. They have the power of God. They have the Spirit of God in them, directing in them. And so they live that way. They live it out. But I also know many, too many, who have been told lies over and over about Christianity. And they've got themselves convinced that everything is sin. You know, if you open the door the wrong direction, it's sin. If you start your walk with the wrong foot, it's sin, and that it's impossible to live a godly life. Nobody's perfect and nobody can live a godly life. They've got themselves convinced of that. And people have been teaching them that in churches, and they give up on trying because of it. It's impossible, so why should I bother? And they get overwhelmed by their sin. And they just feel like there's no way I'll ever be able to get myself out of this hole. And you know, these are people, they'll go to church, they'll say their prayers, but when it comes down to it, they really just don't believe that God's power works in real life. And that's a sad state of affairs in Christianity. In fact, some people are in such denial of the power of God that can make us godly that even if they live good lives, even if in general they're pretty good people and they pay their taxes and they obey the laws and they give away money to the poor and they do all sorts of nice things, even though they do that most of the time, they'll still tell you, I sin every day. I'm a no good person. I'm just wretched and terrible. They've got themselves so convinced that it's impossible to be godly, that God doesn't provide the power, that they'll tell you that they're just wretches. And if you doubt that power that God in your own life can make you godly, well, obviously, you certainly aren't going to put much credit into it changing other people's lives. If it hasn't, you know, if it hasn't changed your life, if you haven't experienced that, if you doubt it in your own life, what are you going to tell the world? Yeah, you should belong to God, but you know what? You're always going to sin, and it's always going to be terrible, and you're never going to go anywhere. So I guess that's all I can tell you. And so there are a whole lot of people who fit right into that description in verse 5. They hold to a form of godliness. They kind of act out the certain aspects of it. They do the behavioral part, but they've denied its power. They've rejected the fact that God's power is real. And Paul instructs us to avoid people like that. And because they make living faith, they make living by faith just a cerebral thing, you know, something you think, but you don't actually do. Or they make it simple religious traditions. It's just something you do regardless of what you think about it. Regardless of whether you believe it or not, you just kind of do it. So for these kind of people, faith is nothing but blind devotion. You know, I say I believe, but I don't really believe, so I'll do it, but I don't really believe it in my heart. Or if it's not blind devotion, it's just a set of behaviors, a traditional behavior. I'm going to, you know, I'll do this, but I don't feel it in my heart. So these kind of people, they don't live through the power of God's Spirit. So godliness, you know, if you think about godliness in our culture and so many people that think that way, godliness isn't the normal way of life in our culture. You know, we don't think of our culture being a godly culture And because it's only really possible through the power of God, people who doubt the power of God, who doubt that power to change them and make them godly, they end up doubting God himself. You know, if you doubt the power of God, if God is just some empty something that doesn't really offer you anything in real life, well, what good is it going to do me to believe in him? So it's no wonder that this kind of person never changes. If they don't have any hope for change, they never are going to change. But God is all-powerful. It's not just something you read in this book. God is all-powerful. And for a person who truly believes, someone who really believes that God created the heavens, the earth, by the word of his mouth, he just said it and it was. The entire universe and everything that's in the universe that God just said, let there be, and it was. Somebody who really believes that in their heart, who truly believes that God can do anything that he wants to, it's no problem to believe that God can influence a single life. But if you've been taught to doubt that, if you've been taught to doubt that, you know, for whatever reason, because God hasn't shown up in your own life, because you've learned evolution, you know, whatever it is that has kind of crowded its way into your mind and pushed God out, it's going to be more difficult to you're not going to turn over to God personally if you don't believe that he has the power to work in real life. And when you forget about God, when you start pushing him out, or worse, you deny him and you say, I just don't believe in you, you deny the power of God completely. If he can't work in your own life, well, he's not going to be able to do anything in any other part of life at all. So you lack faith. You're telling God that you can't walk on water because you don't believe God has any power over the water. Not because I don't have faith, but because God lacks the power over it. You tell God that his gospel is ineffective. I'm not going to bother to talking people out there because God doesn't have the power to change lives. It's not that I lack the faith just to go out and talk to somebody. It's God's fault. It's not my fault. That's what people in that mindset do. They end up stripping God of his power, and therefore they don't do anything. People who truly believe that God has the power to change hearts and minds go out and they talk to people, because they believe when they speak, God's power is put to work. They believe that his word does not return void, so when they start preaching the gospel, something's going to happen. People who believe that God's power changes lives talk to other people about God. People who believe that God has power over the waves get out of the boat and they start walking. In verse 6, in that 2 Timothy chapter, in verse 6, it says, continuing to describe these people who doubt the power of God, it says, they are the kind who work their way into people's homes and they win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. These teachers oppose the truth, just as John's and Jambres opposed Moses. They have depraved minds and a counterfeit faith, but they won't get away with this for long. Someday everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as John's and Jambres were. So these two guys, this is the only time they're mentioned, but extra-biblical accounts, writings outside the Bible, hold that these two guys, this John's and Jambres, were the magicians in Egypt who went up against Moses. Remember, Pharaoh had the magicians, and when Moses would do the miracles, he'd call his magicians to kind of copycat it. And so they used their magic to counterfeit the plagues that God had let out upon Egypt and Pharaoh. And in the same way today, just like there were these magicians who were counterfeiting God's power, who were trying to show that, well, if God can do it, we can do it too, there are false teachers today, many false teachers today who counterfeit the power of God. And they'll talk about being able to heal you, being able to make you rich, being able to do whatever. And they put on a great show, but they deny the power that makes people truly godly. The power that changes a person from the inside out to make them live for God, the way that God wants us to live. In verse 10 in that same chapter, it says, but you, Timothy, you certainly know what I teach and how I live, and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. So Paul's pointing out that Timothy knows him, knows his heart, knows what he's been through, knows what he's had to put up with, and he says everyone who truly follows Christ is going to have to deal with the same kind of things. Everyone who lives a godly life, everyone who takes on godliness through the power of God, they're going to suffer persecution. And there will always be these false teachers and these imposters who flourish, and they'll deceive people and they'll deceive themselves. And today, there are too many people who are fooled by those kinds of teachers. This isn't an old Bible problem. I mean, it was an old Bible problem, but this is a modern day right now in our own culture problem where people are deceiving Christians about how they can live their lives, about the power that can change their lives. And they've oppressed these people. These teachers have oppressed these people, so they're thinking that the only way to gain God's approval is to send money now. Send money to support our ministry, or jump through these religious hoops and do whatever we tell you to do, or fulfill some empty ritual, and if you do it just right, you'll get what you want. And that's all lies. That's not the way it works. It's the power of God, not man. When they should be living godly lives by the power of God, they don't. They're in it for the money or for the popularity or for who knows what. So today, I want to encourage you. I want to empower you. I want to send you out armed with the truth and true godliness. That the real God is real and his power is extremely real. It's true in my own life. I've felt it, and I think it's the most amazing miracle that I know about. And I've seen some miracles. But the most amazing one is what has changed my heart from the evil person that I used to be into the godly man that God has turned me into. And that's the one that will always have me convinced that God is real. And so God absolutely positively changes lives 180 degrees and sends you walking from the wrong direction to the right direction, 100%. And he grants the power that makes people godly. He supplies the power that you need, the direction, whatever you need, God gives it. So if you haven't already, you, wherever you are, wherever you've came from, wherever, whatever direction you're going in, you can start heading in the right direction. God can give you the power that can make you godly today. You don't have to wait. You don't have to go through some 6-month course. You don't have to send any money. You don't have to jump through any hoops. You commit to God and he'll commit to you and he'll give you the power that you need to live for him today and for the rest of your life and for all of eternity. God will do that in your life. If you ask him, if you're serious about it, God will do that to you. So when God says to live a life of righteousness, you can live a righteous life. It's not just cerebral talk. It's not just some idea in the Bible. It's not metaphor. It's not simile. It's the truth. You can live a righteous life. When God says resist the devil and he'll flee from you, he was serious. So that he'll give you the power to resist the devil, so the devil will really realize that God's power is living within you, and he'll flee, because he sees the true power. And if God tells you to get out of the boat and to walk on the water, you can walk on the water. I'm not talking about parlor tricks and cheap nonsense. I'm talking about whatever God tells you to do. Whatever God tells you to do. Remember when Jesus said you can say to this mountain to cast yourself into the sea? That was the truth. This isn't metaphor. When you have the power of God working within you, you can do whatever God tells you to do. You can cast a mountain into the sea by the power of God. This isn't your own selfish nonsense. This is the power of God at work within people. Don't doubt the power of God to do whatever God commands in your life. So to be godly, to be patient, to be, all those things that we talked about, to be kind and loving and to help other people, God empowers us to do all those things. whatever we need to do. Yes, we face persecution. Yes, we face suffering. Yes, we have to deal with real life. But the power of God works through all that. And don't just call yourself a Christian and go through the motions. Be a Christian and live by that full power of God alive in your heart and in your mind, that the full power of the Holy Spirit on fire in the depths of your soul. That undeniable power, that Spirit who communes with God, who speaks to God in the groanings, in the words that you can't even express. That's in Proverbs 16:9, it says, "The mind of a man plans his own way, but the Lord directs his step." So we come up with the proper way. We know what's right, so we choose to do it. But God's the one who really empowers us to do the right thing. It's the power of God that makes a true godly life not only possible, but practical. Something we can do every day that's not a big deal, that you don't think about, how am I going to do this? It's something that God makes practical so that it's easy. You can read, there are probably hundreds of thousands of help, at least tens of thousands of self-help books in the world, I'm sure. There are so many self-help books out there, and you could read all of them if it were possible. You could get more degrees than a thermometer and spend all of your time in college and studying and getting titles and whatnot. You can become a businessman and make billions, or become the chairman of the Fed and make trillions. You can gain popularity and have millions of adoring fans and have everybody in the world love you. And you can even go through all the motions of a follower of Jesus Christ and do all the stuff that a Christian's supposed to do. But none of those things can fill you with the power of God. And God alone, only God, nothing else, God alone can indwell your heart with His Spirit. And you may find earthly power and strength and riches, but all real power, all true power that puts all the things in the world to shame, real power belongs to God. God told the prophet Zechariah, He said, "You will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my Spirit," says the Lord. And if you want to make real life significant changes to who you are, to the way you live your life, and why you live your life that way, put your full faith in God. Believe what He says. Take Him at His word. In Proverbs 3, at verse 5, in Proverbs chapter 3, you've heard this before, I'm sure. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do and He will direct your paths." That's one of the promises of God. You seek God with all your heart and He'll direct you. Put your trust in Him. Don't depend on your own understandings. Don't trust in what God can do, what God says He can do. You put your full faith and trust in the Lord with all your heart, and God becomes your spiritual partner to guide you, to empower you, to not only make you godly, but to do amazing things for Him in His name. And I've heard so many people share their stories about the things that God has done in their lives through them to help out other people. The just miraculous stories in these people and through these people. And so many lives have been truly changed through the power of God, besides my own, besides the things I've seen. I've just heard hundreds of these accounts of people's lives being changed for God miraculously. And when I look at it, I think it's such complete foolishness to deny that power. People do it anyway, but I can't believe that they do it. I can't believe they blind their eyes to what's going on around in the world around them. And they don't see, they purposely do this to the power of God working around them. And so they deny the power of God to change lives. And those people who refuse to accept God at His word and the things that He's written and His power to turn, to change themselves, they turn themselves into fools. And by not only, you know, by believing what the world has to offer. And in 1 Corinthians at chapter 1 of verse 18, it kind of says that. It says, "The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God." That's 1 Corinthians 1:18. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. Why would it be foolishness? Why wouldn't these people get it? Why wouldn't they understand? It's not because it's hard to understand. It's not because it doesn't make sense. It's not because there's no logic behind it. But it's because these people don't want to do what God tells them to do. They want to go their own way. They know there's a truth. They've been built with a truth in there. God's written his law on our hearts. And these people understand that they should be living one way, but they don't want to do it. They want to live another way. And so they purposely say, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to pay attention to what God's doing. I refuse to hear you. It's foolishness what you're doing. I'm closing my eyes and calling you foolish. And that's how it works. They purposely blind themselves to what God is doing, to what God has called us to do, and they go off on their own direction. But we who are being saved have simply accepted the truth. We've stopped throwing up the blinders and covering our ears. We've said, okay, God, I'm through with what the world says because I've realized that it's nonsense. Like Solomon went through and he said, it's all vanity, it's all foolishness, it's all pointless. Everything that you can do in life for yourself, that's just, there's nothing to it. I've done it all. And it's pointless without God. All there is the truth of God. And so I'm saying, God, I'm opening my eyes. I'm opening my ears to the truth. Let him who has ears hear. Remember Jesus said that a lot? Let him who is willing to hear the truth, hear the truth. And here it is. And so the people whose lives are being saved by God, they open their eyes to the truth and they say, okay, God, I'm going to live your way. I'm going to change my life and I'm going to start doing it your way, God. And Romans 1:16 talks about the people who have been truly saved by God. They know his power. Paul says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. Regardless of if the world calls it foolishness, I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. Anybody who turns their life over to God says, I'm going to take your way, I'm going to take your truth, I'm going to take what's real, I'm going to live that out. God gives them the power that they need to live out the lives that he's called them to live. It's pure, it's simple, it's straightforward. All we have to do is accept the truth and live it out in real power. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, at verse 4, Paul says, and my message, my preaching was very plain, was very simple. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Paul says, I did everything as simple and plain and straightforward as possible. I didn't put on flashy shows like you see sometimes today. I didn't do a bunch of magic tricks so I could impress you. I gave you the gospel. I gave you Christ crucified. I gave you the simple, plain truth so that you could see the power of God making the change and not human wisdom. There's a great delusion during the end times, which we are living in, we've been living in, that everyone thinks they're a Christian. Everyone who goes to church thinks they're a Christian. Everyone who's born to Christian parents thinks they're a Christian when they're not. The same way that government has so many people fooled that the best thing that we can do for our economy is keep spending money foolishly. The same way that the government has people convinced that that makes sense, there are people who have themselves convinced that they can jump through a few hoops and they're a Christian. A great many people have themselves and others fooled into thinking themselves they're Christians because they attend church once a week. They have the appearance of being a Christian. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God that can not only make them godly, but like Jesus said, so that they can do even greater things than Jesus did. That's what Jesus said. You will do greater things than I. So why isn't the church doing greater things than Jesus? It's doing some pretty great things around the world. The church is doing some amazing things. But in our culture, we don't see that. And it's because so many people have denied the power that can make them godly and the power that can help them do greater things than Jesus did, the power of God in their own lives. But like everything else in life, it's our choice. It's our decision. We can choose either to accept God's power or to reject it. We can choose to sow to the Spirit or sow to the flesh. We can choose to continue in iniquity or depart from iniquity. We have the ability to be servants of righteousness or slaves to sin. It's up to us to decide. God provides the power to make that transformation, but we have to choose whether to accept it or not. We can choose to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ, or selfishly to look after our own business and not care about what God wants. We can choose grace, which reigns through righteousness, unto eternal life, or we can choose to sow to the flesh and reap corruption. It's our decision to make. Romans 8:12 says, "Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your flesh urges you to do." Doesn't matter what temptations are out there. Doesn't matter what you think your body or your desire wants you to do. It says you have no obligation to it. "For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your flesh, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." And again, it's not just a title. It's not just what you do. It's who you are. It includes your title and it includes what you do, but it's more than that. It's who you are. So how do you do it right? How do you obtain that wonderful transforming power? How do you accept and live by the power of God and obtain a godly life? How do you make it practical? Well, go back to 2 Timothy at verse 3. At verse 14, he lays out just a simple practical step. He says, "But you," at 2 Timothy 3:14, he says, "But you must remain faithful to the things you've been taught, for you know they're true. For you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have been given you the wisdom. They have given you the wisdom to receive salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus." Now, what's interesting here is that Paul—they didn't have the New Testament when Paul wrote this; they had the Old Testament. So he's saying, "You have the Holy Scriptures. You have the Bible, the Old Testament, and from that, you have received the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ." And all Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong with our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. So God has infused His power right into His Word. Right into the Bible, and the Scriptures teach us how to live according to the promises of God, how to accept that power. And so we band together. That's why we're here this morning. We come together in the name of God to worship Him and to encourage each other, to support each other. You know, you go off by yourself and you don't get any good out of this. And so we learn the truth of God's power and we teach it to others. We spread this truth to other people. We pass it around as much as we can. And we take extra care to make sure that we remain faithful to the proper teaching that comes from the Scriptures. We don't make up our own thing. We don't make up our own arguments and our own nonsense, our own human wisdom. We trust in what God has given us, and that's what we teach. We teach God's truth, and we stick to it, remain faithful to it. We don't go our own way according to how we feel at the time. We always continue to walk in God's truth, and He will empower us to live godly lives. John 8:31 says, Jesus said to the people who believed in Him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And if you do that, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free." And the people responded, "But we're descendants of Abraham. We've never been slaves to any man. What do you mean what you'll be set free?" And the freedom that Jesus is talking about, like we said before, is godliness. Christ rescues us from sin and empowers us to live godly lives in freedom. So Jesus responded to these guys who said they're children of Abraham. He says, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. And so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." So he said, it's not just because you call yourself a son of Abraham. It's not just because you belong to a Jewish tribe. It's how you live. It's who you are. And it's the same message today. It's not just because you go to church. It's not just because you follow a few rules. It's because of who you are. And if you live a life of sin, you're still a slave to sin. So you got to break free of that. And it's an amazing experience. It's the transformation power that God provides. It's a wonderful gift to feel the very power of God in your own life, changing who you are from a wretched, terrible sinner to the enemy of God into a saint, into his own child, into the family of God. There's nothing more wonderful. Colossians 1:19 says, "For God, in all his faithfulness and fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself, and he made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And this includes you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and your evil actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it." So you know the truth that comes out of Scripture. You commit to it. You enjoy it. You know God. You experience his power. He becomes a part of your life. So you just put your full faith and trust in God. Take him at his word. Don't harden your hearts like too many people have done and not believe that God can change real life. Don't ignore and deny the power that can make you godly. You, everyone in this room, everyone in this world, can live a godly life, a righteous life. You can start today. And even though the world is against you and thinks it's foolishness and denies God's power, God will be with you, and you can rely on him. We have the power of God to help us in every way that we need it, to obey God in every way that he commands us to. For the word of God is alive and powerful. This is from 2 Timothy. Our scripture for the day continues at verse 12. The word of God, no, this is Hebrews. Hebrews 12, or Hebrews 4 at verse 12. "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable." Doesn't matter what the world thinks, you're accountable to God. And his word is alive and powerful, and it can change your life. And if we commit to God and remain faithful to him, he'll not only help make us godly in the first place, but he'll keep us godly, and he'll do amazing things through our lives. Verse 14 of that Hebrews 4 says, "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us follow his example and come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." So anytime you're in need of help to do what God tells you to do, he's there. Call on him, trust in him, believe in him. Don't believe into the lies that say nobody's perfect, because that's a human argument. You can't help but sin every day. Godliness is not just a spiritual metaphor. That's all untrue. You can live right. You can live for God. You can do what God tells you to do by his power. "Dear brothers and sisters," James says, "when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." We get tested all the time, and too many people fail because they say nobody's perfect. "I failed again, and I'm sorry, God, and I did it again, and I'm sorry, God, and I did it again, and I'm sorry, God," and they keep repeating the cycle and ignoring the scripture and ignoring the power that can make them truly godly. It says, "For you know when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, and you have that power, so let it grow," verse 4 of James 1:2, "so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect." Scripture tells us, let your faith, your endurance grow, for when it's fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he'll give it to you. He'll not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone, not in what the world says. Do not waver, for a person with a divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. You put your full faith and trust in God, and you live it out. You follow what He says in Scriptures, and you can do it all. Whatever God asks, you can do. Stay true to God, and He'll stay true to you 100%. Keep the faith, and you will find His power alive in your life, and you will know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. There will be nothing in the world that convince you otherwise, because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, teaching you and guiding you and giving you His power. Believe in Jesus, trust in everything He has said, and you'll do amazing things. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, "Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly." Physical training is good, like we talked about, wanting to have more power. Physical training is good, it says, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Be encouraged. Be empowered. Grow in godliness. You can do it. Everybody can do it. You just have to turn to God and trust in Him and follow Him. Live lives filled with God's power. Let me end with this. Philippians 1:6 says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." You'll keep growing and you'll keep growing and you'll keep being empowered and you'll find this truth. Live it out. Live it out in the power of God. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You so much that You offer us the most amazing benefits that anybody can imagine. You know, we think about heaven, and so many people talk about going to heaven someday and how that's the big benefit. And they miss how much You offer us right now, today, to change our lives, to empower us, to turn us around, to do amazing things for You. God, I pray for Your power upon this church, upon Your church, God, upon this whole culture, and all the believers who truly believe in You. God, I pray that Your power would be infused in miraculous ways, in ways that would blow these people away, in ways that would transform the culture around them. God, help us to live Your way, to be empowered by You, to demonstrate to the world what it truly means to be a follower of Christ. God, help us to know Your power in our own lives and to share it with the world. Thank You so much for even offering that to us, God. Thank You so much for Your kindness and Your generosity. Thank You for Your transforming of our lives when we least deserved it. God, help us to make You proud and to show the world what it means to be a Christian for real. In Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.